The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
You're listening to Believe You Me with Michael the Count Bisbing.
You know my name yet?
And Anthony Lionheart Smith.
There it is. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Lionheart Smith is back on the show. The world is a better place. BYM is by far a better place. You left me.
I did.
You left me alone with Harrington and Brian, Anthony.
I did. I'm sorry.
She said, exactly. Never mind what happened at the weekend. Never leave me with Harrington and Brian ever again. We did a live through the fight. I'm telling Harrington to shut the fuck up because he's coming out with nonsense. You know, he says you're going for triangles when you got him in side control and stuff. You know what I mean? Don't subject me. Never mind what you're going through personally, losing a fight.
How dare
what am I going
that?
Through? How dare you think about me? Right.
What the fuck is wrong with me?
God. Look, listen. First thing I want to say to you, and then I'll kick it to you, obviously, because it's your fight, it's your moment, your experience. I just did a little live earlier talking about some MMA news, and there was a lot of people in the chat all saying, listen, and I'm sure it's the same in the Believe You Me community as well. Like anytime, there's idiots, there's assholes, there's haters. But there's also a lot of people that support you, Anthony. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of people that were invested in you and they still are, and they're on an emotional journey with you. So just know that there's a lot of people that care about you. You know what I mean? With that said, give me your thoughts on what went down Saturday night.
Yeah, you know, I feel the love too. It's probably the most hate that I've got probably ever. You know, it's the, you need to retire, you're trash, you suck, you don't belong, like whatever. First of all, I'm not retiring. That's not happening.
Good.
Not like that. That's for sure. I'm not going out like that.
And why would you?
Yeah, listen, I still have it. It's there's some problems that I got to fix for sure, but I don't know. It's definitely not going to happen like that. It's not going to be on a whim. It's not the first time I've taken my gloves off in the cage before. It's very documented. I've had lots of hand injuries. The gloves and the hand wraps bother me. You know, it just, they cramp my hands. They're tight. They hold them open. It's just, they bother my hands. So
that's exactly what I said on the live. Cause Anthony and Brian were always taking his gloves off. And I said, yeah. I said, but the thing is, when you've just been through a tough fight, sometimes your hands are wrapped so tight and they get extremely hot.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, the first thing I ever wanted to do was to take my gloves off. Just get these goddamn gloves off.
And they're brand new. They're brand new. Like it takes, like when you get a new pair of boxing gloves, how long does it take before they're comfortable?
It could be
a month, you know, and like you'll wear them for the first couple of rounds and then you got to put your old ones back on because like it takes a while to get that break-in process. Every single time you fight, you get brand new gloves. So it sucks. So first of all, I want to get that out there right away. Not retiring.
Excuse me.
I don't have no excuses. I had an incredible training camp. I left no stone unturned. I didn't cut any corners. I put all the work in. I was in great shape. I felt good. I was uninjured. But there is a glaring hole in my game and it's no longer a hole.
Which is, I mean, because I never saw a glaring hole, but please.
It's the leg kicks. It's become a liability at this point. It's not even a hole in my game anymore. It's a liability. I'd love to see the numbers and see how many leg kicks I've absorbed in my UFC career. It's got to be in the thousands. And at this point, checking them isn't even good enough because I checked a good number of those kicks. And it was got to the point where the checking didn't even matter. It hurt worse to check it than to just lift it and take it. So I think over time, I've taken so many that my body's just not – like my leg isn't just taking them as well as it used to. We've addressed it over and we've changed my stance. We've changed my movement. We've changed the block. We've changed the defense. I do it in practice, and for whatever reason, we get into the fights, and I can't do it in the fight. I don't know why. Andrew Sanchez destroyed my leg with leg kicks. John Jones destroyed my leg with leg kicks. Volkan Ozdemir destroyed my leg with leg kicks. Hector Lombard, even Alexander Gustafsson a little bit. Alexander Rakic put me down with two. It's a liability. I can't take them. And Johnny Walker had an incredible game plan. Stay on the outside, stay really composed, don't engage in the boxing, and pick at his leg until he can't move. And then that, once you take away my movement, I'm just a sitting duck. You know, I my whole game is kind of based, not that I do a bunch of big, flashy, incredibly athletic movements, but my movement is one of the biggest parts of my game. It's how I ease my way into distance. It's how I ease my way just outside of range. It's the slight, real subtle angles. Like if I can't do those and I can't do them on my timing, it changes my whole game. If you don't engage in the boxing offensively, he had incredible counters. But if you don't offensively do that and I'm forced to come to you, then I'm just waiting into your kicking range and then I'm just taking bombs from the outside. So again, credit to Johnny and his team. He really stuck to a game plan. He was more composed than he's ever been. He was fast. He didn't let me bait him into any bullshit. He was hard to get to, especially after I was compromised. He took advantage of me, and that's exactly what he's supposed to do. And that's exactly what I would have done to him if I could have. He was just better there, and I don't have any excuses for it. He was just better. And it's frustrating, you know, like I put so much effort into this. So like, I've never really cared about the trolls and the online people talking shit. Never really bothered me before, but I'm like real angry about it now. Like I was like, it was everything I could do to like not come at the media and freak out on every single, like, because I haven't done anything to anybody. So like why people feel like it's just where we are today in society, but like people are so comfortable just shitting on someone that they don't know. Like I'm a good dude. Like I take care of my family. I help the people around me. I'm nice. I tip really well. Like I do all the things right. You know what I mean? And I put in all the effort. I sacrifice. I run myself into car accidents every single day. And like on those bad, like it wasn't my night, you know, like he did a great job and he was better. He took advantage of a hole in my game and he did it better than I could. And that's the game. But like, you know, I just can't believe the way that people are talking about me. You know, it's just insane. It makes you really jaded. Like why am I so cool to the fans? Like, and then I got to remember, like, I'm only focusing on the negative. Cause then when I think like how I'm getting way more positive than negative, it's just the negativity is louder.
A vocal minority.
It is. They're so loud. And so then you know, you got to keep reminding yourself, like it's at the end of the day, man, this wasn't the end of the world. Like it was pretty bad. Like it was a pretty bad spot yesterday. I'm a little bit better today, but like, I just wanted to win so bad. And I try so fucking hard. Like that's the problem. Like I just try so hard. I was throwing to the end. And even though I was hurt, you know, like how many people are standing in front of Johnny Walker at range and staying conscious? You know what I mean? Not many. That's for sure. And I was hurt early. Then I got overextended. Like I was hurt. My leg was compromised in the first 2 minutes. And, you know, then I got caught throwing an overhand, like overextending. He clipped me with something. I got the takedown. And it was like, you know, I don't know. It is what it is, man. Like again, congratulations to Johnny and his team. They did a great job, but you know, what do you do? What do you do today about it?
Well, you do exactly what you're doing right now, which is be a man. You hold your hand up, you be honest, mm-hmm. and you said, you know what? The better man won on the night.
He did. Yeah.
You know, and you know, I've been thinking about what to say to you. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really require too much thought, to be honest, but you identified the leg kicks there. And you are right, because when the fight started, you were standing in like a Muay Thai stance, but the lead leg wasn't even bouncing up and down. It was held for like sometimes for 2 or 3 seconds in the air.
Right.
So it is like you were always so focused on defending leg kicks.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then on the live, or when I talked about it to someone else, people were saying, well, what do you think Anthony did wrong? And I was like, well, I don't think it was so much what you did wrong. It's what Johnny did very well.
Yeah.
You know, we have to give the man credit. I mean, because I remember there was one point in the fight, he hit you with a succession of 3 leg kicks in a row with the same leg kick in bam, 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 real fast succession. That's not easy to do. Do you know what I'm saying?
It's not normal.
It's not normal. And the man's a freak athlete. And it sounds like I'm just sitting here now and saying this, trying to make you feel better. Johnny Walker's a beast. He's a physical specimen. We know that. He's a bit of a weirdo. He's a bit of a weird character. He's a nice guy. But he's a freak athlete, you know, and he is getting better. And he's gigantic for the weight class. And again, it sounds like I'm making excuses. But these
I had problems with it. I had problems with the size. He's big. He's really
these are just facts, though. He's big and he's a monster and he's getting better. And the reality is, and I truly do mean this, I'm not saying it to try and make you feel better. On his night, Johnny Walker's capable of beating any man on planet Earth in that weight class. He really is. You know what I mean? I always had some kind of concerns with this matchup, because when he burst on the scene, he was the next hot thing. Do you know what I mean? And then he had some shortcomings because he was a little bit spazzy in there. You know what I'm saying? But he's getting better.
And he's had some cartoonish knockouts. That's why he got a lot of flack, because he's been hurt, and they had like one real boring matchup with Thiago Santos.
Yeah.
And kind of a cartoonish knockout from Jamal Hill. Like, so then people kind of shit on him. But like, I was always hyper focused on him.
Mm.
I'm just heartbroken, you know, because I went in there knowing that I was going to win, you know, and then when you don't, you're just, I don't know. And then you got everyone telling you like, you don't have it anymore. You got to retire. And it's like, I don't feel like that. Like, I don't feel like that. Like, I absolutely have something I got to fix. Like, I don't even know how to fix it right now. Like, it's not unfixable. It's not impossible. I don't know if I need to start fighting Southpaw forever. Like, maybe I just switch to Southpaw forever. I don't know. But
listen, here's the good stuff though, Anthony. What you're feeling right now is what you're supposed to be feeling, right? If you give a damn, if you give a shit. Do you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people that go out there and they're happy to be there, and they're happy to be in the UFC, and they're happy to get the fame and the attention and to make the money and be on TV. And sometimes when they win or lose, they don't really care, because, you know, they had their moment, or they're having their moments, and they're not too bothered about being a champion. When you're a true competitor, this is how you're supposed to feel. You know, so it's a good sign. And, you know, there's a lot of comments, oh, you should retire, you should hang it up and all the rest of it. And it's like, hold on that, just stop. Think about this. Should Gilbert Burns retire? Has anyone said that? Should Gilbert Burns just lost
right
to Bilal Muhammad? I'm not taking away from Bilal, but he lost. Should he retire? No, he's fighting at the highest level. Who else just lost? There's another one. Just had a bad loss recently. My God, I had it all in my head. I had loads of fighters lined up. I can't remember. My mind's gone blank. But just because a fighter loses a fight doesn't mean that's now time to hang everything up.
The new rankings came out. I'm still in the top 10.
You're still in the top 10. You're 34 years old.
Come on,
you recognize you made some mistakes, and you recognize that Johnny Walker was the better man on the night. You did recognize correctly, because the leg kick thing is a given. You know what I mean? You need to handle that. But that's good, because if you go out there and you're like, I did everything perfect and I still couldn't beat him, that's not the end of the world. But you're sitting there saying, listen, the leg kick thing was in your mind. You were so focused on that. You were standing on one leg for the majority of time. And Johnny Walker was good, right? Mm-hmm. It's when you give up on yourself. Chito Vera, sorry, that's who I was going to say. Look at Marlon Chito Vera. Yeah,
no one's saying he should retire.
Marlon's a good friend of mine, and I have so much respect for him. He had a bad night at the office against Corey Sandhagen, right? That he knows that. The whole bloody world knows that.
And he's not Gilbert making any Burns, excuses either.
You,
he's just like,
no,
I got to get better.
Cheetah, Gilbert Burns, the UFC, the top talent. When two men or women step into a sporting endeavor when it's one-on-one, 50% of those people go home a loser and 50 go home the winner. And right. that's the hard part, because it's the thrill and the agony, as the UFC say. You got mm-hmm. Johnny Walker, he's breakdancing in bloody Charlotte. He's enjoying himself. He's having a good time. And you on the other side feel like bloody throwing yourself off the end of a cliff.
right.
Because it's like, momentarily, it's like your world's collapsed.
But the right. world just fell on your head. That's how it feels. Mm-hmm.
You had a bad night at the office. And
today is the first day where I woke up like, okay, all right. You gotta stop feeling sorry for yourself. Like, you gotta stop. Well, look, you gotta stop. We gotta figure it out. And then you gotta start making calls. All right, how do I fix this now? Now, like whether it's I talk to Mark and like, all right, what's the game plan? How do we fix it? All these problems, how do I fix it? Who's next? Okay, when are we going to go? How long do we have? Who do we want to fight? And then it's I talked to Eric Nixick today, and then I talked to Tyrone Spong, and then I talked to Mark. And it's like, just get up, give me all the information. Like, let's get all the best brains in the entire sport. If you guys can't all fix it together collectively, then it can't be fixed. But
yeah,
I'm not quitting until someone says it's unfixable. I'm not fucking giving up, and I'm damn sure not retiring like that. You're not going to see me tucking my tail and crawling out of there and getting mad. Oh, I lost. And then just throwing my gloves down. And then just to take it back 2 months from now and say, oh, I was just mad about it. When I retire, it'll be the last time you see me, and everyone's going to know before it happens. Like,
I won the belt in 2016, 2014. I got choked out by a one-armed guillotine by Luke Rockhold. Everyone said it was over.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Kennedy beat me.
How old
Vitor Belfort
then?
Beat me. I was 35.
Right.
35 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone said I was done. Everyone said I was finished. I remember, and I might have said this before, so I apologize if I have. At that press conference, when I fought Luke Rockhold, I remember speaking to a journalist, and he said to me on the phone, he said, this is it, right, Mike? This is your last chance. This is your last shot. You've been in these kind of situations before. If you lose this, you're never going to sniff the world championship ever again, right? And I said, no, what are you talking about? If I lose this fight, I'll be devastated. I'll be gutted, but I ain't going to give up. I ain't going to quit. As long as there's still breath in my body and I'm still healthy enough to do it, mm-hmm. I'm still going to keep on trying. Because that's what you have to do. The moment you say to yourself, I can't do this, I can't compete, I'm not good enough, it's okay to say I've got work to do. It's okay right. to say I've got improvements. But if you just decide to just say, you know what, I'm not good enough, that's only when it's over. And that's what I said to Chito Vera. And right. I think he posted something similar to those words a couple of days later. It ain't over. It's a hard sport. These are the best mixed martial artists on planet Earth. Right. And you're fighting at the highest level. Sometimes, listen, it's great to be a Conor McGregor when he was on the rise, to go out there and destroy everyone. DC, John Jones, I don't know, these people, these truly phenomenally, Rampage Jackson, these insanely talented people that just have an ability to do it. They're just so good. You know, and that's great. And people love to see that. But people also love to see the journey of the underdog, the guy that goes along and gets kicked back and gets stopped and gets loses fights and it doesn't go his way, but they don't give up and they don't right. give up and then claw their way to the fucking top because this is who they are and this is what they're fucking built of. And I know this is what you're built of. And of course you're sad and you're depressed and you've got a little fucking black eye, but you were always an ugly bastard anyway. So who cares? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
But you got a beautiful wife, you got a beautiful family, you got all your faculties. Right. You can't check a leg kick to save your fucking
life. Can't check a fucking leg kick to save my life.
Other than that, we're fucking good to go, baby. Come on.
Well, I've been saying from the very beginning, it's world champion or die trying. That doesn't mean, oh, it's world champion or die trying unless it sucks. And, you know, like I'm getting stitched up. Like I'm getting these stitches in my face and some media person comes back and says, hey, the media room wants to know if you're retiring. I wanted to explode. Mm. Like here's what it is. These people that are like pushing that on you and these trolls on the internet and the people that are talking shit, you know what it is? I make them uncomfortable because they know that they couldn't continue. That's what it comes down to. These people that are just begging for people's downfall and begging for people to quit when it gets hard and saying, yo, you don't got it anymore. No, you're afraid I don't have it anymore because you know I'm not going to quit. So yeah, it sucks really bad right now. It sucks real fucking bad right now. And I expected this week to be much. If I win that fight, I'm fighting for the world title. like I lose and I should retire. No, that's not how this works. Like people look at our sport so much differently. But if you take your favorite basketball team or your favorite football team or name your sport, like most of your favorite athletes lose more time in one season than I will my entire career. So like,
and not making excuses. You were coming back from a leg break as well.
Right. Well, and I was a little bit uncomfortable in there too. Like,
I don't know. That might've been playing a factor on your mind.
Like, I don't know about ring rust, but I will say, and I'm not making an excuse or saying this was it, but I will say that I need to be more active because the one fight a year for 3 years I've been a very active fighter my whole career. So now the last three times I've gone in there, I felt like it's very new. Like it's a new, fresh feeling. Like it's the first time. So I'm not like super familiar in the octagon. Like the whole fight week stuff is unfamiliar to me the last three times. I don't feel like I'm in a groove. I don't feel like I'm in a rhythm. And so I need to, that's another thing I need to fix. That's nothing on anyone else. That's on me. I need to stay healthy and I need to be able to get into some sort of rhythm where I'm comfortable and I'm not feeling like this is the first time, you know? So I think that's some of it for sure. I mean, as far as just how I felt when I was in there, that was the one different thing. It just felt new, you know, and I don't like that.
Going back to the haters, if you will, for want of a better word, what you said, people coming out the woodwork and talking a bit of crap, you know, doing what we do or any sportsman or anyone that puts himself in the public eye, there's going to be a certain percentage of society that looks at that and are inspired and that take great pleasure and support you. There's also going to be a lot of people that are quick to talk a lot of shit and talk crap. And sadly, that's just human nature. You know, I kind of lost it a little bit at the end of the life. Someone donated $2 and said, hey, I forget what he said now. And I said, take that $2. I said, shove it up your fucking ass. I said, how dare you come on here? You got a guy going out there who's trying to fight in the toughest sport on planet Earth. It didn't go his way. And you want to kick a man while he's down? It's just the same kind of people that go out there and talk crap, these trolls on like Instagram and comments on Facebook or on Twitter or whatever. It's like, what is going on? The problem is with them. You're out there, you're competing in the toughest sport on planet Earth, okay? You're fighting at a very, very high level against a freak athlete who's very good, who's getting better all the time, that had a tremendous amount of hype, and you came up short, okay? There is absolutely nothing to be ashamed of. You should be really proud of yourself. You're giving a great life to your family. You know, they're happy. You're financially stable. You've got your faculties. You've got a great brain. When the time does come, when you hang the gloves up, you've got a huge amount of options that you have. Commentating, ESPN analyst, podcasting, you name it. You can do it all. There's a million things you can do. But right now you're focused on being a fighter. And that's what you're putting everything into. And that's why it hurts. And that's why this, seeing the reaction, what you're having, is a positive sign. Because if you don't care, then you don't care and you're not going to get better. And you're not going to right the wrongs.
You're not going to fix it.
You're not going to fix it.
Yeah. God damn it. It still sucks though.
Yeah, it does.
It sucks. It just, losing sucks. And you know, it is.
It's part of life though.
It's part of life. And
for most people, as I said before, there's this small subset of society.
I liked how you explained that too. Some people are just born winners.
Yeah. Just, no, there is.
Like
some Jones, people, ESP, I hated them.
Rashad is one of those guys. Me too. You know, Rampage was a great example. Like some people are just born great. And the rest of us have to scratch and claw and fight and rob and steal and whatever else we got to do.
We're just human beings. Some people are just supremely talented at whatever sport it is that they decide to do, whether it be football, I'm talking about soccer, but American football, throwing a ball, javelin, athletics, running. Some people are just born for that shit. And other people, that kind of life might choose them. And we love it and we're good at it and we're talented, but we got to work our bloody ass off.
Right.
And we got to sacrifice and we got to itch and scratch and claw our way to the top, like I said before, you know? And you know what? When you're that type of guy and you finally do it, it feels even better. You know what I mean? So
we'll get there. We'll get there.
You're going to get there.
We'll have one of those big shiny gold belts as one of the bits and bobs in the back one of these days.
There we go. There we go. There we go. Well, on behalf of everyone, all the believers, we're all so proud of you, Anthony. It's the
The love from the believers has been incredible.
Nice.
I can't even tell you how many messages and comments, and I see him on my in the comments defending me against the trolls. So I appreciate the absolute shit out of you guys. And you know what? We're gonna run it back in there here sooner rather than later, and we'll just do it again. I don't know if that makes me stupid or smart, but we'll just roll back and do it again.
I'm going to wind everyone up when I say this, but what about a boys trip out to Thailand? You want to work on
leg kicks? It's not a bad idea.
There's no better, bro.
It's not a bad idea. There's no better place to work on leg kicks in Thailand.
I'm telling you, though, all jokes aside, so I fought Mark the Beast Epstein for the Cage Rage belt. It was my third fight. I won it. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. I was way over my head, but I beat him. Then we had a rematch, and I was comfortably winning the fight. And then in the third round, he started attacking me with leg kicks. Mm-hmm. Right? And he almost put me on my ass. He must have kicked me 20 times. I was limping about all over the place, and as luck would have it, I caught him with the right hand and finished, you know, sealed the deal. Mm-hmm. But then straight after that, my coach at the time was like, bro, you got to get out to Thailand, man. You have got to learn how to check leg kicks and just get better with your Muay Thai. And I went out there and I went and lived in this crappy gym for about a month. Well, I lived in a crappy hotel right by the gym. Right. And I fixed it. Like that, you know what I'm saying? Because that is the best spot on earth. And if you're looking for a beautiful place to go on a holiday with a family and a little training holiday, or the boys can go, we can all go. Because I'm overdue a trip to Thailand. I'm telling you, mate.
I was
there's no better place on earth for that stuff. I'm telling you right now, that is their culture. That is their moves. That is their techniques.
That's theirs.
Their life.
Well, I was laying in bed last night. I was thinking about, like, who are, like, some great people that, like, deal with calf kicks and then throw them themselves. And, you know, I like went back and I was like, well, it's not like I'm the only one that has this problem. Like, think of Israel Adesanya in his last fight with Alex Pereira. Like, he was pretty compromised in the first round of that fight with those kicks as well. So, like, I'm not the only one with this issue for sure. But then I was like, there's lots of people that do a really good job. This is funny. I talked to Tyrone Spong in the hotel afterwards, and he couldn't have been kinder to me. It was just about, you know, it was a real motivating speech, or not speech, but conversation, just about my mindset. Excuse me. And, like, what, you know, kind of how his mindset was in his career. And so I'm asking for advice, and he just so cool and chill was like, I was like, well, I mean, what am I doing wrong? Like, with this whole kick thing, like, you just broadly, you know, like, what do you see? And he was like, oh, I never check kicks.
Again, he's one of those one percenters. Follow that advice.
I never check. He was like, if anything, I just get out of the way. I was like, I would if I could.
yeah.
If that was an option, I would definitely do that. But yeah, it is what it is, man. We'll fix it. We'll get back. We'll run it back again, and we'll probably find another problem we got to fix, and we'll fix that too.
Don't call it a comeback, but exactly. I'm looking forward to the comeback. Yes, it is what it is, man. That is it with sports. Harrington and Brian, allow you to be present on the screen.
Harrington's somewhere else right now, but here.
Is he? He didn't want to hang around, did he not? All right, well, good for him. How are you doing, Brian? You well, buddy?
I'm good. I'm just wondering if everybody has their chip on them.
Well, we do, but today's not the day. I even said this in a comment earlier. I went, we can't do that today, right? It seems like there's always a reason. Always an excuse, but, like, you know.
Yeah, Anthony's- man, the doctor said with these stitches to stay away from extremely hot chips.
Oh, I get that, dude. That makes sense.
Yeah, you eat a hot chip, your face gets all swollen and red, and I start sweating. I can't sweat in this thing. That's what it
You've got two vaginas on your eyeballs. You can't be handling hot chips.
Look at this one. This one's pretty good, too. They were like, they didn't know if they wanted to stitch that one. You know what else sucks? Here's something people don't know at home. The canvas looks very smooth because you see people slipping around sometimes, and it looks very smooth from the outside. But it's not. It's very rough canvas. That's very textured material, like fabric. And my knees looks like I've been trying to suck the truth serum out of a wiener for fucking 4 days. My knees are just, there's no skin on both of my knees from the small grappling exchange in the first round.
No,
that's going to be the
shower without screaming,
because the blue parts of the canvas, they are slippy, but the sponsored logos, they are like the coarsest sandpaper. I ripped the bottom of my toe off once. in the main event.
I got a huge tear on the bottom of my foot, like where my toe connects to my foot, and just from the canvas. It's crazy.
Oh, shit. Oh.
First world problems.
Guess what? That's going to heal up. You're going to heal up. Mm-hmm. Everything's going to be fine and dandy.
Moscow
this time.
Mule. Cheers.
Next week, Moscow Mule with a straw. Mm-hmm. I'll allow it this once.
Just this once. I got like a just bunch of cuts on the inside of my mouth.
Just this once. Okay. So we'll give a... Did you manage to watch any of the other fights? I mean, there was some standout performances. Ian Garry, got to give him a special shout out.
Yeah,
he was phenomenal. Great. I'm sorry. This sucks. Let's talk about the people that did really well on the fight.
No, it's fine. Ian Garry looked really good. I thought he was going to have a tougher test. I was also surprised at how much he was picking at D-Rod the whole time. All week long, he was fucking with D-Rod. And I'm kind of, you know, all week he messed with D-Rod the entire time. He knew D-Rod was having a tough weight cut. I don't know how he found that out, but he put those pizzas and like some weed or something, or some gummies or what, edibles or something.
I know.
At his door. And then in the back, you know, then he's yelling at him when he missed weight the first time, but not really being an asshole so much. He was just picking at him. Like, it was almost comical. But yeah. I could tell if you were D-Rod, you'd be pissed about it. But I thought it was, you know, it wasn't uncomfortable. He was messing with him in the back before the ceremonial weigh-ins, you know, like just constantly talking to him and like picking at him. And you could just tell like D-Rod was bothered. And I thought that was a terrible game plan. Because I don't know, for anyone that maybe doesn't know what he looks like, you have to look him up. That's not a dude that I'm just going to go around teasing. You know, he's intimidating like in person.
Oh, no. And he's got a colorful past as well. Yeah, but Ian Garry did not care. It was a sensational performance. He actually picked it as well. He said, I'm going to get him with a head kick, which he did, put him down in round one, 2 minutes 57. He called it, he nailed it. And now he's asking, I don't know if you saw this, for Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, main event in Dublin. Wonderboy Thompson, Ian Garry, take my money. Because that, and I got to give credit to Ian Garry there. That's a big step up.
Yeah.
And stylistically,
it's a tough fight.
Fun fight, brilliant fight for fans, but for him, maybe a tough fight. So, I respect that. Okay, HTLT supplements. Listen, these guys are absolutely fantastic. They sent me out some of the stuff recently. The protein shakes taste delicious. The pre-workout gets you going. It makes the workouts easier. Halfway through your workout, you might be fading. You might be thinking, you know what? I've done enough for today. But with the pre-workout, you are absolutely flying there. 2-hour workout feels like a 30-minute workout. And each week is better than the last, as if, you know, you're aging in reverse. And listen, all of their supplements are scientifically backed in over a dozen human trials, all showing clear benefits: sleep, mood, energy, performance, well-being, and weight loss. Yes, they're shred. It will get you shredded. Trust me, it works. It doesn't make you jittery. It doesn't make you anxious or anything like that. And it's not specific to one sport or just cardio only. Simply taking their products will get you back to a place of overall improvement, confidence, and motivation. And look, these aren't just for hardcore athletes. It's for anyone, including you couch potatoes out there, that have trouble even getting off the couch to go and exercise. Anybody that wants to live a better life, check out the HTLT supplements. They got multivitamins, they got pre-workout, they got protein shakes, you name it, they've got it. Go to HTLT Subs to check out everything from pre-workout, protein, and supplements. And when you use the promo code BISPING, you will get 10% off. Once again, that is HTLTSubs.com. That's the website. HTLTSubs.com. The promo code is BISPING for 10% off your order. You don't have to be an athlete. You just want to be a better you. You just want to be able to get off the couch. You want to feel good. You want to feel great. You want to live a long, healthy, fruitful life. Go to HTLTSubs. Use the promo code BISPING to get 10% off your order. I saw a meme the other day and it was hilarious because Rebecca's always like, you don't listen to me. I'm like, I do. Because I ask you, you're the one that doesn't listen to me. Because I'll always say like, oh, so God damn, I'm commentating here next week and I've got to do the continue on Tuesday. Then I'm commentating, God knows, somewhere out the country. And then it comes closer to the time. And she's like, you never told me. I'm like, what do you mean I never told you? I specifically told you about it weeks ago. Anyway, I saw a meme the other day that you know how a meme works, there's a picture. Yeah. And the woman comes over, she goes, well, what was it now? Something like, you never listened to me. Or did you hear what I just said? You never listened to me. And it's like, his response is, that's a weird way to start a conversation. So anyway, whatever. Harrington, what is going on with this man's leg on an airline?
Well, according to the man, he got onto an American Airlines flight. His luggage was lost. Unfortunately, in his luggage, he says, was a prosthetic leg. He went to baggage claim after. They handed him a check for $600 to cover, you know, ostensibly the clothes that would be in the bag. And then he went home. He has since been arguing with them over a $25,000 prosthetic leg that he claims was lost. And American Airlines says they have no documentation of that, so they can't pay him.
I was going to say, yeah, $600 for a prosthetic leg doesn't sound like it gets close. However, I will say this. Some people are known to, you know, if game something goes missing, you know what I mean? Right. Maybe they'll just exaggerate what it was a little bit. Anthony, you ever had bags gone missing, things gone missing, prosthetic legs, guns gone missing?
No, I always knew where those were. But I did lose my luggage one time in actually, I was coming back from Charlotte when I was training with Weidman one time, and I was flying back. I land. I only have one of my bags, but the other bag had all of my training stuff, like all of my training clothes, gear, everything. It was a huge bag. It was like 55 pounds. And I call and they're like, yeah, we just don't know. We go back and forth for a couple of days. My manager lives in, one of my managers lives in Charlotte. So she goes to the airport. They have no idea. They're like, yeah, well, it's just lost. And I was like, no way. Like that's got I'm in the middle of training camp. Like I need that. And she goes there and she just starts running amok. Like she knows someone that works for American or something. And so she's elevating it up the chain of command. And she was like, all right, that's fine. Well, I want to see the cameras. And they were like, what? And she said, you guys have cameras. So like the second you get onto an airport property, you're on camera. Like every single place, corner, crevice of an airport other than the bathrooms is under surveillance. So she said, like, I want to watch that bag come out of his car all the way till it gets in the back after he checks it. And then that was at like 6 o'clock at night. At 8 a.m. the next morning, they called and they found my bag. They did not want their cameras looked at
no,
all.
No,
they did not want it that. So yeah, I lost.
Yeah,
I have a buddy that's paralyzed though. He used to travel a lot for work and they used to always break his wheelchairs. Like, they toss them in there. And it's crazy.
You even see when they're fragile on stuff and they just throw it on. They mm-hmm. don't care.
They don't care
at all. The airlines, I'm very anti-airline these days.
Me too.
Because they just take the piss. And like booking mm-hmm. flights, where the whole family's going to go see my mom soon. Flights are just ridiculously expensive.
Did you finally book those? I remember you said they were crazy expensive. Did they go down at all?
No, I had not. They were going up. Yeah. They were going up by the day. I had no choice. I'm like, bite the bullet. Shit, I should have done it last week. They're just getting more and more expensive.
I told you that too. I said, they're going to get more expensive. I know.
Sometimes they might dip. Anyway, so a story came out and I put it in the chat. And then Brian, obviously, because, you know, he's anything Brian. Anti-government. Yeah, because he's Brian. But I agree with this one. And obviously, some people might not, but it says the Biden White House is drafting legislation that will make airlines responsible for the extra costs associated with delayed canceled flights. When an airline causes a flight cancellation or delay, passengers should not foot the bill, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg said in a statement. He's a bit of a weirdo, to be fair. This rule would, for the first time in U.S. history, propose to require airlines to compensate passengers and cover expenses such as meals, hotels, and rebooking if there's been a significant delay or a cancellation. When I saw that, that's been commonplace in the UK and Europe for a long time because my dad loves it. Because my dad loves to game the system. And he called me recently, I forget where it was, and he's like, oh, son, and a result, he's like, yeah, well, the flight was delayed, right? We didn't land there for 2.5 hours late, but we were on the runway for 45 minutes. So you put the 2.5 hours and the 45 minutes together. That's 3 hours and 15 minutes, $600 fucking dollars. Do you know what I mean? But that's what they do. anywhere right. else. If you're because the airlines need to be held to a goddamn standard. These days, 100%. They don't care. Prices are skyrocketing through the roof. They cancel flights willy-nilly if there's not enough people booked on them. And if they lose your goods, if they make you delayed, if they cancel a flight, they're not held accountable. So mm-hmm. I put that in the chat and I said, oh, this is great. And Brian comes out with, oh, yeah, great. Now the government are going to destroy the airline industry. I'm like, no, Brian.
You can't mess it up any worse than it is.
No, because Brian.
My wife's flights got delayed, her and Araya, on their way to Charlotte. They sat on the runway for like an hour and a half. The flight was delayed anyways. Then they sat there for an hour and a half. So then she missed her connection in Atlanta. And they're like, well, you're just shit out of luck. And she was like, what do you mean I'm shit out of luck? It's 10 o'clock at night in Atlanta. I'm here with my child. And there's not another flight that goes out to Charlotte tonight. What am I supposed to do? They're like, well, you can get a hotel and, you know, just take this 7 a.m. flight tomorrow morning. And she's like, were you going to pay for my hotel? And they're like, no. Like, what the hell is that? So then she was going to drive because it's 4 hours. Then she couldn't get a rental car. So she had to go to get a hotel. That place didn't have any room. So then she had to go back to the airport to take another shuttle to it. It was a mess. It was a disaster.
It's a total mess. And, you know, the other day, and Brian, please come on and give us a rebuttal because we like a bit of a, you know, a debate on here.
For sure.
You know, the other day there was some airline industry expert on there, on the news. I think it was Sky News, and they were quizzing him as to why the prices are increasing so much. And I remember I was on American Airlines. I think I said this, and the food was terrible, and it used to be really good. And the woman mm-hmm. serving the food, I didn't want to pick a bone with her because, you know, she's just doing a job. But when the guy came around with the drinks car and I got a glass of wine, I said to him, I said, hey, buddy. And I tried to, like, you know, address it as friendly as I could. I said, what's going on with the food? I said, I fly American all the time. I said, the food used to be really good. I said, I can't even eat it now. I said, well, what's happening? And he says, sir, you need to lower your expectations. The airline industry has lost billions of dollars. And I'm like, well, you're not lowering your goddamn prices, are you? So
like you've got a spending problem.
Yeah, sounds like you've got a you problem. So, Brian, please, what is the issue with this?
So,
Mr. Big, I support the airlines. Brian
it's,
McKay.
It's less than I support the airlines than I like to fly places, right? So if you are charged, if you're the government's going to mandate that the airlines are paying all this extra money every time flight gets delayed, the prices are going to shoot up to space. Like, it's going to be impossible for regular people to get a flight anywhere. It's going to limit travel to everyone in the United States. And I think that's part of the plan. I think this is part of like some weird WEF, like New World Order conspiracy thing, but we won't get into that.
But I disagree, though, because it's not like that. And of course, I know we're not living in the UK, you know, but it's not like that in the UK, and it's not like that around Europe. Just look it up, Harrington, if you can, just the ruling. If there's flights or if there's cancellations or significant delays, they have to be held accountable because you're paying for a service to take you from A to B on a certain time. You might have an important business meeting. You might be going to a wedding. You might be going to a funeral or something very, very significant and important. And if they don't hold up their side of the bargain, right, when you give your hard-earned money and they just go, no, we're not up to it today, well, then they've got to be held accountable.
Well, from what I understand, if for some reason your flight is missed, they are legally obliged to bump you to the next flight.
And they do that.
Right. So mm-hmm. it's not that you don't get taken care of entirely. It's not like they're like, oh, you missed your flight, you're out of your money, you get f-ed. You know, it's like, they do accommodate to a certain extent, but with the amount of people that travel air travel in America, it's a much greater amount than it is in Europe. Like in Europe, trains, you could take a boat to another country. You could take, there's so many other ways. Well, yeah, if you're like in Italy, you can take
Hold on. You got this version of like the Europe that we're all, oh, monsieur, have you taken the canal to...
Well, I know the trains
you
are...
You go to England or take the steamboat. The steamboat leaves at 6 a.m.
International travel in the EU.
We get on planes. The cheapest chips. I just looked yesterday.
I did just imagine like a real sweet dinner on like a... a banana yeah. boat going through a little river.
The smoke.
Like, oh my gosh.
Sitting there with our
with your wife
tucked into right. our shirts.
A nice glass of wine.
Have you got any Grey Poupon? I've got a little statement here. It says, oh no, that's not the right one. What are you looking for, Brian? I just looked for because, as I said, we're going to go see my mum soon, and Ellie and her boyfriend, they want to go to Paris. So we looked it up. You can fly to Paris for $48 from Manchester.
No way.
Manchester to Paris, $48. If that's delayed, you're going to get $300. So I understand your concern with that, Brian, but that isn't the way. And I know it's a different country and a different continent.
They better hope they
like
get delayed.
5.2 billion people travel internationally by train in the EU.
Yeah. Well, that's another conversation, though, as well. And mm-hmm. you guys, as Americans, could probably educate me on this. Certainly where I live in Orange County, people don't ride the bus. They don't go on the trains. No. They don't go on the bus and public transport. In the UK, and this is better or whatever. It's just differences and observations that we're having a conversation about. People happily ride the bus. People happily get on the train. But I've seen that there's a really negative connotation with catching a bus out here.
In New York, it's different because it's the main version of transport.
Right.
You know, in a major city, I would imagine it's different. But like, you don't live like in LA proper. You know what I mean?
LA, so, no one catches a bus, bro.
Oh, fair enough.
The bus system here in Omaha is actually fairly used, but I get what Mike is saying there. Sorry, guys. I keep changing this light because there we go.
It's okay. Okay. It just accentuates your black eye. Shout out Johnny Walker. Let's go.
Shout out Johnny Walker. Oh, thanks for that, asshole.
We got to make a joke about it, Anthony. You know what I mean? You know.
I almost posted, I don't know if you guys seen my story that I posted with Gold Saint. I posted that story like thanking him for the ride. And my manager sent me the video and she's like, hey, you need to, we got this video done for you. Like I knew it was coming. She's like, the video's done. Can you post it? I was like, I should hard post it. And the caption should be, maybe I suck at fighting, but my rides and my fit are always fly.
Oh my God. That would have been
funny. She's like, I hate you right now.
That would have been funny. All right, we've partnered with a new company, Innovative Extracts, and they are giving an amazing discount to our listeners. You can receive 40% off your first order by going to their website, ie-cbd.com, and use the promo code MMA. That's the promo code. Use that at checkout. Innovative Extracts is a veteran-owned company. It's a CBD company located in Pennsylvania that offers, as I've told you time and time again, a full lineup of CBD and THC products. They grow it all of themselves. They use organic practices. They have their own lab on site. They're partnered with GMP-certified facilities. And they use third-party labs to ensure that all of their products maintain the highest quality now. This is the best value on the market, the highest quality CBD at the most competitive prices. Look, we all want to relieve stress, aches, pains, improve sleep. These guys have products that can help all of them. They have products that can help improve your sleep, improve your mood, reduce anxiety, and give you relief from pain and inflammation. And they got a wide variety of products to suit your taste. They got the tinctures, the gummies, the creams, the vapes. And if you're looking for something to take the edge off and give you a little buzz, Innovative Extracts has a full lineup of Delta 8, 9, and 10 THC products that are legal and don't require any medical card, and they ship to most states. What are you waiting for? If you're looking for some high-quality THC, high-quality CBD, these are the ones you want to go to, and they're available to ship to most states. Okay, so we recommend you try these out. And of course, as I said, massive 40% off when you go to ie-cbd.com. You will get 40% off today by using the promo code MMA at checkout. Brian Battle, first round knockout, sensational.
You know, let me, I know you kind of wanted to fly by that one. I had a conversation in the hotel lobby with him. And he was standing there talking to a guy, and it turned out to be that guy was his dad. And he was a really lovely person to chat with. He's very, very intelligent. Like
Brian or his dad?
Brian. He's very intelligent. And I almost felt like I owed him an apology because I never, even you watch him fight, he's very free. He seems like a very free spirited person. He's got just a unique style. And then when I talked to him, he was so intelligent. He had a reason for everything that he did. I was like, that fight happened so fast. and it was a pretty quick knockout, kind of in a fiery exchange. But in his brain, he had so much stuff happen. I was really impressed with just the way he kind of broke down the situation that happened in real speed. It was, I just wanted to give him a shout out. It was a really, really awesome conversation. He was a really, just a lovely person to talk to.
No, that's really nice. And I found the same thing, to be honest, because I've had a few interactions with him, obviously commentating his fights and whatnot. And yeah, same thing, smart guy. Now, this one, I haven't seen it because I was setting up the live watch-along fight companion that we did. Court McGee, Matt Brown. Matt Brown went out there, got the knockout punch at the end of round one, 4 minutes and 9 seconds. I'm ashamed to say I haven't seen it, but that tied him for the record. Now he's neck and neck with the Black Beast for 13 knockouts, which I'll be honest, and this is not a shade. 13 doesn't sound a lot, but again, and I'm not trying to pep talk you again, it just shows how tough this sport is. When the record is only 13, we're not talking 53. To get 13 stoppages in the UFC via fist punch, kick, knees, elbows, whatever, that's the record. That's how tough it is to do. You know what I'm saying? Oh, thank you, Brian.
That's a tough shot.
Nice, Brian. I really like Court McGee. He's bloody awesome. So
I like him a lot too.
His story is so inspirational, but got to give it to Matt Brown, man.
Yeah. I sat next to Matt Brown on the way back from the ceremonial weigh-ins on the bus. Matt Brown's always been a very slightly intimidating figure. You know, he's an intense guy. He's very quiet. You know, he's super intense. That's a great way of putting it. And we had a great conversation, and I had to ask him because he always is so stoic. Like Matt Brown looks like nothing bothers him. Good day. I feel like if you gave the guy $1 million,
or Devil's Avocado, just to throw that one out for a first time in a while, maybe it looks like everything bothers him.
Yeah. You know, that's fair. Whatever he looks like.
I'm about to kill everyone, so I'm not going to say anything.
That's how it seems.
I've never looked so mental in my life. That's how it seems.
And I said, we're just chit-chatting. He's got so much admiration for Mark Coleman. So it was cool listening to him talk about Mark Coleman and just, you know, how great he is, how good he is for his training camps and brings a different vibe and breaks up the monotony and just how much he enjoys having him around. It was the first time I'd really seen Matt kind of like lighten up, you know, and, you know, we're light up during the conversation. And I was like, hey, do you still get nervous? And he had the best answer. He said, when I stop getting nervous, I'll stop doing this. Like, whoa. Like even Matt Brown gets butterflies. You know, I've always kind of looked up to Matt just because of his mentality and obviously his longevity in the sport and the things that he's done. But it was just a really cool, he didn't even hesitate. He said, oh yeah. When I stop getting nervous, I'll stop doing this.
Wow. Well, you should get nervous.
Yeah, it was super cool.
I always say you're either a liar or you're stupid if you don't get nervous. Matt Brown obviously tied the record for 13. Didn't take long for Connor to come out of the woodwork and say, listen, I'm only 34. I've got 8 knockouts, okay? I'm coming for that record. So Connor needs another 5 or 6 to beat the record to get that. I don't know. If he's gonna do
Did you see Matt's response?
He said, I'll fight you for it.
He said, come fight me for it.
Yeah. I hope for Matt Brown he gets that fight. It's never gonna happen.
That'd be awesome for Matt though.
The fight that's everyone's waiting for, and it's the talk of the town at the moment. And I know Dana's getting asked about it a lot because I saw an interview with him at the post-fight presser on Saturday night, is when is that fight gonna happen? And apparently McGregor came out today and said, well, he said it's happening soon. Very soon there'll be an announcement. I think it's just my opinion. It'll happen at the end of the year. I think T-Mobile Arena, Michael Chandler versus McGregor, that's the perfect headline, the perfect way to finish off the year in December. Because think about it. We're only in May. If he's got to do 6 months in the testing pool, he can still do it. And Chandler came out recently and said, listen, I don't think Conor would do that. He's not going to string everyone along. He's not doing this for publicity. You know, even though it didn't go your way Saturday night, it's the greatest feeling in the world. It's the best drug on the planet. Going out there, stepping foot in that octagon and winning a fight. And I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but this is, we don't just do it for the money. You know, this sport chooses us a lot of the time. And we do it to make a living. But also when you start getting good at it, the reward, the feedback that you get is like nothing else on planet Earth. And that is what keeps some fighters that should retire to keep coming back because they want to feel that one last time, you know? So that's why, yeah, Conor's got all the money in the world, but he wants to come back.
But he still wants to do this shit with the rest of us peasants.
And Chandler, it's a good fight for both men. My bet would that be that goes down T-Mobile Arena, December something, end of the year.
That makes a lot of sense. It's a good time to, because it seems like a lot of the pay-per-views are kind of locked up, you know, or at least there's rumblings of other big events coming up. So the UFC's been booking out further too. I've noticed they've been booking fighters further out. So I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, like a December announcement coming pretty quick.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope so. Either way.
There was big breaking news today, though. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah, it's huge.
Francis Ngannou signs with the PFL.
Were you a little bit disappointed in the announcement, or is it just me?
No, I can't say I was disappointed. I think maybe the word you're looking for, maybe a little underwhelmed.
Nah, well, I was expecting the PFL. Because
you were okay.
Yeah, it's not that. That's not what. I'm just a consumer, right? That's how I look at it. Like I'm just a fan, and I don't really care about where he signs. I care about who he fights and when. I need a who and a date, and so it kind of made this big deal. I kind of assumed it was going to be PFL. It wasn't bare knuckle. It wasn't Bellator. It wasn't one, and all the big boxing names are tied up right now, so that only left PFL. So I figured it was PFL, but then, you know, I was hoping for a name and a date, and it was disappointing because it seems like he's not going to be fighting MMA for another year.
You're right. In that regard, it is disappointing. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely like for example, when Jake Paul says, I'm making an announcement, me and Nate Diaz, we're fighting in August in Texas. Right. You're like, whoa, okay, let's go. Yeah, I mean, if you're a Jake Paul fanboy, I did not go, whoa, let's go.
I mean, everyone else, that's what everyone else did. We didn't do that.
No, because I'm cool. You know, I was like, so, yeah, man.
Yeah, whatever.
You know, yes, whatever. I'm like, ooh, let's do a YouTube video on it quickly.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, listen, you're right. PFL, there wasn't many two other people around. I didn't think, obviously, it was going to be in the tournament bracket because that payday, even though $1 million is a huge amount of money, he has been very vocal that that's not what he's looking for. Now, my friend, Anthony Evans, friend of the show, he sent me some bullet points on it. Here's essentially the deal, what he will be getting. Just to summarize, hold on, here we go. Francis PFL deal, as expected for a while, Francis announced he's signed with the PFL. We'll find the PFL Super League. Those are one-on-one matchups on the PFL pay-per-view. Now, they've only done one PFL pay-per-view, and I'm not standing here knocking the PFL. We don't know how much that sold. I think it was Kayla Harrison. Don't think rumbles on the street that it performed too well, but you never know. With a Jake Paul, with an Ngannou, you never know. They didn't say how many fights they had signed for. Francis seemed to indicate to Ariel Helwani that they signed for two fights. Won't fight in the PFL until 2024 because he wants to box this year.
But it's like a tune-up fight, right? Boxing debut. I think something Nash had put out some bullet points as well, saying that his boxing match was going to be a tune-up fight, then he would go to MMA.
It seems a weird tune-up fight for MMA to have a boxing fight, but still. But in terms of boxing, I mean, all the big boys are booked.
Mm-hmm.
I believe so. But still, there's still lots of people out there, and Francis is Francis. Mm-hmm.
A minimum wage for his opponents? I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I was just going to say that's cool. Also has a position with the PFL to launch an African PFL league in 2025. Francis will be part of the leadership team there. That's all. That's great. That's really cool. A lot of if, buts and maybes. I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but 2025 is 2 years away. You know what I'm saying? And if it doesn't all pan out, then you never know. But still, I'm happy for the man. I'm happy for the man, you know. Boxing is free to set up his own deals, targeting one boxing fight this year. Listen, again, you know, anyone that steps in there and fights and does what we do for a living, you know, I always want the best outcomes for them. So good for him. I hope he goes out there. I hope it's a crazy success. I hope he makes loads of money.
Yeah, yeah, dude, me too. And you know what I think, though? I think part of the problem with him not – well, I think some of the reason with him not having an opponent right now is really the
– roster?
Some of it's the roster. Because you have to get a return on your investment. So you need someone that's going to sell. What does it take for someone to sell a fight versus Francis Ngannou? Well, it has to be a reasonable – path to victory for the opponent. You have to be able to convince people that there's a chance that Francis can lose. That's how you sell fights. There has to be no one's buying anything to watch Francis smash a can. There's got to be someone that they think has a reasonable chance to create a reasonable threat to Francis. So I think that minimum price for his opponent is now going to create a sweepstakes for the Francis Ngannou fight. So what do? Do you create a tournament? Winner of that tournament gets to fight Francis. Maybe they do the next heavyweight tournament in the PFL. I don't know. But also, I think that's going to, like, if you look at the top 20, just if you just go world rankings, not even just the UFC, the world rankings, if you use, say, Tapology, the top 20 guys in the world are in the UFC, or like the top 22 are in the UFC. I think you have to go down to 22 or 23 to find someone that's not in the UFC in the heavyweight rankings. I think what that $2 million price tag for his opponent is going to do is I think you're going to see some of the guys in the UFC start looking to fight their deals out and start looking for an opportunity to maybe get themselves into a Francis Ngannou PFL fight.
Well, Ben Rothwell came out of the woodwork. He's already raised his hand, and I'm not surprised. If that rumored number is correct, then obviously it's a tidy sum. There's one heavyweight that the PFL does have that I can see it would make sense, and that's Fabrizio Verdum. Yeah. Granted, Verdum
in a while, right?
I was just about to say, hasn't won a fight in a while. He's a former world champion. You know,
there's a reasonable threat there, though. When it comes,
there's
to
a reasonable
the
threat with the submissions. You know, not the best wrestler on planet Earth. If you want to build Francis up, you give him a jiu-jitsu guy with not the best wrestling, who Francis would, you know, with respect to Fabrizio, probably more than likely knock out. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Bader is at number 21. Ryan Bader will lose Bellator.
Well, and he's Bader's the 205er.
I would not put Ryan Bader in there with Francis Ngannou. No. They have Francis listed at number 14, according to Harrington. But still, it's interesting. I mean, there was a lot of that. Now, Jake Paul didn't see it that way. He hit us. Oh, no, sorry. I'm just looking at the notes there. That's a completely different story, but it is revolving something that we need to talk about. Saturday night, when you were at it, so was KSI. Did you see the clip during the round?
I seen the finish.
Yeah.
It was the elbow, right?
Elbowed him right in the face.
Yeah, it's kind of dirty. Like,
I don't know. Well, I mean, I don't think
it's a dirty way to lose. I don't know if he threw it on purpose, but man, the whole situation is dirty. I'm not saying he threw it on purpose or not. There's no way of knowing, but what a terrible way to lose a fight, though. Like, what's his ref doing? You're not paying attention? You gotta watch these weapons.
Well, it's not just that. He hurt him with the right hand. And we're not going to spend too much talking about the YouTuber's turn boxer KSI when we've got real stuff to talk about. But it is big news right now. So he was winning the fight comfortably. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, KSI, he did look impressive. But there's the finish right there. He caught him with a big right hand before that, wobbled him significantly. Right there. I mean, he missed it big time. You know, he caught him with the elbow. Clear shot. Jay Paul came out and said, nice shot. Wrong sport, though. comment was
nice shot, wrong sport.
Yeah, it was something like that. But I like KSI. I've actually trained him on two occasions that the UFC set up.
Really?
Nice guy, great energy. And from where he was then to where he is now, you know, it's impressive because he's working his ass off and he's getting better. Mm-hmm. But that needs to be a no contest.
Yeah, for sure.
That's got to be overturned to a no
bare
contest.
Minimum. Bare minimum, that's a no contest.
Or a disqualification, I would say. on the side that it wasn't intentional. If it's not intentional, listen, if you clash heads, and so, like, the best example is Kevin Holland versus Kyle Daukaus. Remember that fight?
Yeah, yeah.
They clashed heads. Kevin Holland went down hard. It looked like a knockout victory for Daukaus. And then mm-hmm. they have the review official. That's a new thing the UFC have. The referees look at it and they go, whoa, 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 hold on, stop. It was a clash of heads. It's a no contest. They have that. They have instant replay. They have videos. We have all seen it all over the world. Don't tell me the boxing commission that sanctioned that didn't see that.
Right.
It needs to be made a no contest if that. The integrity of the sport is going to stand.
Speaking of integrity of the sport, how about that fight on the prelims? I was sitting in my hotel watching.
In Charlotte, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Andy Bone, Ji-Young Kim.
Yes, where the referee took a point, which I thought was kind of a little bit weird. That seemed like a situation for a hard warning when he pushed her off, or she pushed her off after the round was over. That's all. It's kind of all fair and love and war. Like, you're kind of in this heated battle. They don't really get along. They don't like each other. She took her time getting up off of her. I feel like you just come over in between rounds and say, hey, you do that shit again, I'm going to take a point. Seemed weird to take a point at the beginning of the second. Then he calls it off and then takes another point. Like, you can't stop the fight and then take a point. It doesn't work like that.
Some of the refereeing was a little questionable Saturday night. Like, for example, who did Cody Stamann fight? I forget who it was.
I forgot who he was fighting too. I was going to bring
this up. He took him down.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? He took him down. He got top position. I tweeted about it.
And they stood him up for some reason.
Yeah, that's it. Thanks, Harrington. Go on. No, go on, Harrington. You don't have to jump off. You made him back away from the camera ever so slightly.
He landed an upkick. The ref stepped in to warn him, gave him a hard warning, and then stood both men up instead of giving him back position.
So I tweeted it. Give Stamann position on the ground. He worked hard for the takedown, eats a lame upkick, and then warns Silva, then starts them back on the feet. So he's rewarding the guy that just upkicked him. Mm-hmm. He was taken down. Stamann worked hard for that. And he goes, whoa. Don't do that. Right, start back on your feet again. Try and knock him out. What is the logic in that? I mean, that was just crazy. I don't want to talk bad about Mandy Baum. Nobody knows how hurt she was. That's a stupid rule, though.
Yeah.
The hand down thing. The hand mm-hmm. down. The hand down rule. It's got to go.
It's got to go. It's got to go.
Stupid.
It's very, very. If your knee's down, that's a different story.
Listen, you can knee me. Hold on. Oh, look at that. Can't knee me.
Can't.
Knee me? Can't. Knee me? Can't. Knee can't.
Yeah.
What is that? I mean, I get it. It's still, even though the UFC is 30 years old this year, it's still in its infancy in many ways. If you consider boxing's been around for hundreds of years, you know, and rules are changing. You know, like, remember, it used to be you got 5 minutes for a nut shot. But when you got poked in the eye, you didn't get 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was the discretion of the referee.
And then the doctor comes in. If you can't say that you're good to go right then and there, they end the fight. Well, now they've changed that just kind of recently, last year, I think.
Yeah.
So now you get 5 minutes with an eye poke. And I think in some commissions, certain states, that isn't a rule, is it? Mm-mm. I think.
It's got to be. In North Carolina, they said it had to be weight-bearing. So just the fingers touching wasn't good enough. It had to be actually weight bearing.
Yeah. So anyway, I like Ji-Young Kim. She's a nice girl. I met her at the PI one time. Did she get cut?
I seen it today. She got cut. Her and Jessica Rose Clark.
Jessica Rose Clark has gone as well.
Yeah. Jess. It's too bad.
It is too bad.
Part of the game, but it's too bad.
It's the game. Go on, Harrington. What were you going to say?
Just a little bit of cleanup for the last couple stories. That was Douglas Silva, D'Andrage, who hit the upkick. The Jake Paul quote was, that was straight up a right elbow to the jawbone. Good form, but wrong sport. And then John Jones and Francis Ngannou are going back and forth on Twitter right now.
What did he say?
John Jones said,
Chase Sherman's been removed as well.
I like him too.
Vanilla Gorilla, very sad. Jones said, how are you going to call yourself the baddest man on the planet from across the street? Francis responded, well, cross the street then.
both have a point.
they both got points. I like the comeback from Francis Ngannou.
Yeah, I do.
It's such a shame because that's the fight. That's the fight. What do you reckon? Jones versus Ngannou, hypothetically.
I've always said the same thing. Francis or John Jones, 50-45 Francis Ngannou without a mark on his face.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. I get
it. And I like Francis as a person. I think he's a great dude. I love his coach. I love his team. But
yeah, Fernan Lopez. Oh, no, sorry. That's his ex-coach. What am I saying? Talk about Eric Nixick.
Nixick a lot. I don't know. I just think John Jones just picks at him from the outside, stays safe, gets takedowns when he can.
Well, he is the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
And they got one common opponent. Maybe
we've seen how that went.
And we saw how that went. Okay, let's talk about Chalk real quick. You know, the one, chalq.com. Chalk.com. They got the natural supplements covered. And our friends at Chalk, they are the only natural products worthy of the Bisping seal of approval. Okay. Some guys who eat well, they train hard, and they're in good shape, but they don't see the need for supplements. The thing is, guys, look, listen. You want to take every natural advantage that you can get. Men's testosterone levels are at an all-time low, and not a day goes by that I don't see a guy who's had a bad diet early on in life or low levels of testosterone naturally that could use a boost beyond their training. If you're unmotivated, if you feel lethargic, if your libido is dipping, this will take care of all of it. The supplement industry is filled with crap. Weak, trashy, and dirty supplements, but Chalk are proud to stand above the rest in clean, pure, and healthy products. Chalk uses full disclosure labeling. They tell you exactly of how much of each ingredient goes into their stuff. Never use proprietary blendings, no label fluffing or underdosing. All ingredients are measured to exact clinical research. Chalk Daily is the cleanest research-based testosterone booster available on the market. And along with Chalk Daily, be sure to check out their Male Vitality Stack and the Stack Ultra. Listen, summer is coming. You want to feel good. You want to look good. You want to take that shirt off. You want to be the best version of yourself. Go to chalk.com. When you're there, use the website. Use the promo code even. Bisping. You're going to get a huge 35% off your entire order. So start this summer off with a bang. All of our fans on the show, get in the best shape of your life this season. Go to chalk.com. Use the code Bisping. Become a better version of yourself and get 35% off your order. Harrington, you know, we were just talking about airlines before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you catch a plane, here's one tip that I'm going to give to people. And this is like one of my rules for life. If you would, if I was to write a book, I'll have Jordan Peterson. One of my rules for life is always try and take a dump before you go to the airport or before you get on a plane.
It's not
you
a know bad. What I mean? It's not a bad trip.
I'm telling you, if I'm at an airport, you know, I am making sure I take psyllium husk, is a little supplement that we use in this house. It's fiber. It's good for your gut health. Mm-hmm. It gets you going. It takes care of it. It evacuates the colon like nothing you've ever seen. It's like shouting fire in a hotel. It comes out. Because you don't want to be on a plane. Do you know what I mean? The last thing you want to be doing is on
nobody a plane. Wants to shit on a plane.
You're taking a good old shit. Do you know what I mean? And then like you come out, there's a line of people. Like I remember one time and I felt so sorry for it. I was flying back. I think it was a flight from Brazil and I wanted to use the toilet and there was someone in there and I really needed to take a pee. And after a while, one of the stewardesses came out, one of the flight attendants, and I went in there and the smell was so bad. And like there was just diarrhea all over the bowl. And
oh,
stuff.
No.
And, but she knew what I was walking into and the look of shame on her face. And I actually felt sorry for her because it's just a normal human function. Do you know right. what I mean? She obviously had a bad stomach or whatever. So, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, there you heard it here first. Words of wisdom, you know, always try and take a dump before you get on a plane. But, Harrington, this is your cue. Give us the skinny. There's a story that was brought to light recently. I'm sure it's not breaking news or whatever. But Andre the Giant, apparently, there's a legendary story, including the subject matter which we were just talking about, a lot of W's, in concerning such a thing, Harrington.
Okay, so now imagine that woman that you saw come out of the bathroom after leaving a foul-smelling dump was actually a 7 foot, 8, 400 pound, ninth wonder of the world, Andre the Giant. Brutus the Barber Beefcake said that once on a plane that was chartered for the WWF at the time, Andre went in there. I've never heard anything like it. The sounds that were coming out of there, the smell that started coming forward, the back of the plane had a lot of people. There were people falling out of their seats and into the aisles, gagging, puking, crying, screaming. We were all falling on the floor, laughing ourselves sick. I couldn't breathe. He must have filled up a garbage bag full of shit.
No, but the plane had to land, didn't it, Harrington?
Yeah, it was absolutely horrifying to the point where, yeah, the flight was not able to continue.
It had to land.
It had to land. Do you know what I mean? Andre the Giant shit so much in a plane. The smell was so bad. It had to land because people were throwing up and stuff.
Dude, the Andre the Giant stories.
Oh, fuck.
It's all right, Harry. God damn. It's not like you did anything at the weekend.
I know. The Andre the Giant stories are amazing. I don't remember who it was. Maybe it was Jake the Snake was telling a story on Joe Rogan's podcast where they were driving somewhere and Andre the Giant was in the back of the car, or the truck or whatever they were in. And they stopped at a gas station. And he got a case of beer and he drank like the entire case of beer in like an hour and 15 minute drive or something. Like, maybe I got some of the details wrong, but
well, I've got it here. Cause I looked it up. Cause I posted this on Instagram.
Did you?
On my story, because it said Andre the Giant holds the record for drinking the most amount of beers in 1 hour. And I posted it on my story. And I put, I'll take that challenge. It says here, you won't find it in the Guinness Book of Records, but Andre the Giant holds the record for the largest numbers of beers consumed in a single sitting. Standard 12-ounce bottles of beer, nothing fancy, but during a six-hour period, Andre drank 119 of them.
I remember Jake the Snake talking about it because he said, and he never had to take a piss. He didn't pee one time.
119 beers. That's a lot of beer.
However many beers he drank when he was with Jake the Snake. I don't know if there was another time, but however many beers he drank in that vehicle with Jake the Snake, he never had to stop and pee. Not one time.
But you know, when he did eventually pass out because he would have done with all that beer and carbohydrate in his system, you know, he woke up in the middle of the night.
Oh, yeah.
And he had the biggest piss.
Oh, yeah. Probably just wherever he was at. Jake the Snake also said that Andre the Giant couldn't fit on a normal sized toilet. So when they were in hotel rooms, he would shit in the bathtub.
Oh, no.
Yeah. No. Yeah. You'll have to, if anyone listening gets a free little bit, if you look up the Jake the Snake podcast with Joe Rogan, there's a whole Andre the Giant segment. He just tells the craziest stories.
Oh, yeah. It's God, insane. That's amazing. How much did you ever shit in a bathtub?
No, I've never.
Brendan Schaub. Brendan Schaub, apparently. No, he pisses in it.
He's in the sink, yeah.
He's in the sink.
That's weird.
No. I saw some YouTube clip recently. I'm not talking bad about Brendan. I like Brendan. Howie Mandel was on there, and everyone was like, oh, don't use the sink. You can stay on, Brian Harrington. And they're like, don't use the sink. They're like, why is that? It's because Brendan pisses in it. And everyone was like, what?
Immediately the stream cut. It was the best. He's like, oh, we're having technical difficulties. Off.
that's weird.
So that was what I was going to say. The reason I have a hard time believing that Brutus Beefcake story, how is Andre going to fit in an airplane bathroom? Do you think he just had to poop in the aisle?
Shit, maybe. I don't know. Well,
you would get arrested and probably locked up for being mentally ill.
If they chartered the plane, maybe not.
I'll tell you what, though, but yes, I see your point, though, because some of those airplane toilets are cozy.
I have a tough time fitting in the airplane bathrooms. It's really the standing up part because it's always slanted, like right in front of your face.
And the worst part is as well.
I'm like squatting like this, trying to crouch and pee at the same time.
I
just get weird and I sit down and pee, Mike.
Hey, I sit down when I pee as well sometimes. I do a lot of long haul flights, obviously, when there's international UFCs, you know, and you, when you wake up from a nap, you want to brush your teeth when you're landing. So you go and brush your teeth, but then there's a tiny little tap and a tiny little sink, you know, but then when you do it, you just get water all over the floor. Mm-hmm. Do you know this phenomenon of which I am talking?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then you walk out and everyone thinks you've pissed all over
the floor.
You
pissed all over this. Yeah. Yeah.
But I ain't or you get, up or you that get, floor because it's covered in piss as well.
Or you get it on yourself and you look like you peed and dribbled a little bit on your jeans.
Anyway, this is the highbrow stuff, what people tune in for. Should we talk about some MMA, for crying out bloody loud? Harry, what's a big story that we haven't got to? Obviously, we talked about Saturday night. We talked about KSI. We talked about Francis Ngannou.
Let's see here. Look at these notes.
When I say that, Harry, when I talked about Francis Ngannou, that's like, jump in and save me because I'm flailing about here.
Okay. All right. Give you your choice here.
Stop.
Okay.
I got it. Uh-oh. We have to talk about this. Oh, no. Give me your choices. Go on, Harrington. Sorry, but I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're fine. So I was going to say a brother of a UFC star put himself in title contention in another organization. Nate Diaz dealing with the Texas Department of License and Regulation. Their verdict came back, and Colby Covington is already talking about going after a second belt.
What do you want, Anthony?
What was the... No, I can't do the Jake Paul thing. I am actually curious about it. But or Nate Diaz. Well, yeah, let's go with Nate Diaz.
Well, given the details, Harrington.
So when Nate was at the press conference with Jake Paul, somebody had asked him what the deal was with him smoking marijuana, you know, with Texas.
Right.
The Dallas police said it was cool. Nate's management said, we're talking to the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation. They came back with a verdict and said he absolutely, there will be no exception. So they will be testing for, marijuana, which means that if Nate does get a win, likely would be turned into a no contest unless he stops smoking weed.
That fight's not happening in Texas. There's no way. There's no way Nate's going to not smoke weed.
No, there's absolutely no way because it's truly part of his identity. And I don't
think he's going to want to take a suspension.
I don't believe he'll allow himself to be dictated to like that. He's just, he's that type of guy. I did think, but if he's ruled a no contest, I never considered that part. I thought, well, what are they going to do? Fine him 20%? I thought, well, he'll just take the fine and just have the fight.
What if they suspend him? I don't know that because he's still talking about wanting to do this boxing thing and then come back to the UFC. It's tough to do on a suspension, especially with his age.
Suspension hold up in other states where marijuana is permitted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if any state suspends you, the other states will uphold it.
Yeah, that's right. They do. So you think they're going to move the fight from Texas?
Probably.
That's a lot to do, though. That's a lot of work. Like he is the joint promoter, though. Let's be honest.
He's not it's that or he doesn't fight. I think he would not fight.
It was funny. Have you seen the video? Because they're talking about it and the camera's on Nate Diaz and somebody says, you're not allowed to smoke marijuana in Texas. And he carries on talking about whatever he's talking. And then he just stops. He goes, wait, what? He's like, you see like the light bulb go off in his head. Yeah. He's like, whoa, what did you just say?
Right. Shocked. Like, no, we can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll have to wait and see how that one plays out. But I do want to give a special mention to Leon Edwards, the welterweight champion of the world, his brother, Fabian Edwards.
Edwards. Good win.
Went out there, beat Gegard Mousasi. Friday afternoon, I was watching that in Bellator Paris. Gegard Mousasi, I believe he's retired now. That was his final fight.
Was it?
Yeah. Well, that's what the commentators were saying. They were saying that it might be his final fight. What a road.
Rear.
Yeah, what a fire. I mean,
the names on his record are insane.
It is insane. I mean, the man's, you know, he's a fantastic and well-respected mixed martial artist, Gegard Mousasi. There we go. Came up straight away. You know, I was meant to fight him, but they changed it to Anderson Silva. And when I was watching the fight, not that I was looking for an easier fight, I was like, you know, I'm so glad they changed it to Anderson Silva. Because Gegard Mousasi is one of those guys that is as tough as they come. And granted, I'm not taking away from Fabian Edwards' win. Fabian beat him fair and square, and he looked really, really good doing so. But it looked like, you know, it was maybe time to retire. He didn't look like the fighter he used to be.
Right.
But I was like, I'm so glad they changed it to Anderson Silva. Because if you go out there, Gegard Mousasi is as tough as they come.
Yeah, and he's good everywhere.
He's good everywhere, but you ain't going to get the casual fan base. You know, like people go, who'd you be? You say Anderson Silva. Oh, you say Gegard Mousasi. They go, who?
Who's that?
49-9. Let's have a look on some of the people. Rory McDonald, Alexander Shemenko, Chris Weidman, Uriah Hall, Vitor Belfort, Thiago Santos, Talis Laitis, lost Uriah Hall with that spinning back kick, Costa Philippou, Dan Henderson, Jacare, Mark Munoz, Lyoto Machida, Alir Latifi, or Vincent Prue. It goes on and on and on.
That's all the way crazy.
Gary Goodridge, Renato Babalu, Mark Hunt, Jacare again, Melvin Manoff, Dennis Kang, Evangelist.
Those are all wins.
Santos, on and on. I mean,
that's crazy.
The man has had an incredible run, and if he has hung it up, well done to him. But I wanted to talk about
what man has a win over Gary Goodridge, Mark Hunt, and like a guy like Austin Vanderford. Like, that's three totally different generations.
And what a run on the UFC. Talis Laitis, Thiago Santos, Vitor Belfort, Uriah Hall, Chris Weidman. Then he went to Bellator. Shlemenko, Rory McDonald, Carvalho. He's unreal. So we've got to give him his due and big respect to him and good luck if you have decided to hang up the gloves, Gegard. But I wanted to talk about Fabian Edwards and Leon Edwards. So Fabian now is going to fight for the belt. I was just thinking, I mean, look at that. How cool is that? You got Leon Edwards, who's the welterweight champion of the world. And your brother has now got a really good chance of becoming the Bellator champion. Imagine walking around your local town, the two brothers. One's the UFC champ, one's the Bellator champ. Ain't no people messing with them two. No, sirree.
No. I mean, what a cool feeling, you know, as just being one of them, knowing that, like, there's a chance you're both going to be champions of the world in two of the largest organizations out there. How cool to just share that with your brother. Like, geez, that's crazy.
Well, and the thing is as well, because, you know, I talk about it, you talk about it. Yeah, great coaches are awesome. Having a big team is fantastic. Having the resources and all these different styles and all the rest of it. But the reality is you only need one good training partner. And how about going through that journey in life? That emotional roller coaster, which is fighting mixed martial arts or any combat sport for that matter. And you're doing it alongside your actual brother. And you can both push each other to the limit. They're to lean on each other when it's getting a bit hard physically, mentally. You know what I'm saying? To go through that with your brother.
I wonder who's better. Feeling. I wonder who wins those training sessions.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
I wish I would have known that, like, we were going to be in this situation because we could have asked Leon.
Oh, we should have done. Yeah. I wasn't aware that he was as good and as successful as what he was.
I wasn't either.
He looked really good.
Really good.
Anyway, all right, listen. We're going to be back on Thursday with another show, and we're going to get a guest or two on. But if you have a question, send them into bympod@gmail.com. Anthony, respect for you to coming out today and facing everybody, because it is a tough thing. But, you know, as we say, you roll with the punches, you're going to be back, you're going to get better, you're going to learn. And we look forward to it. But in the meantime, Harrington.
If you're listening on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure you subscribe to the show. Leave us a 5-star rating, positive review. It helps out on those platforms. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to the channel and you hit that notification bell to find out whenever a new episode drops. And if you want to catch over 400 episodes you can't find anywhere else, completely ad-free, totally uncensored, head to gasdigital.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get yourself a 7-day free trial. Check out over 20 great shows on the network.
So Brian tells us, and hi, Brian, and welcome to the show, brother. Brian tells us we have 5 really good questions to get to today. I'm just going to say, and you're all going to give me a hard time when I say this. I haven't got time for all of them because I've got a haircut, okay, because I'm commentating on Saturday, and I'm looking a little bit disheveled. I'm looking a little bit homeless. I've got to go get it taken care of. So you can all shut up. You can stick it in your pipe. You can stick it up your ass. You can stick it where the sun don't shine and smoke the shit out of it. We're going to do as many as we can. Brian, the floor is yours. Go.
All right, first one we got here is Alan from Scotland.
Hello there, BYM pod. Alan from Scotland, big fan of the show. Bisping, big fan. Anthony Smith, big fan of yours too. Hope the legs healed up after your last fight there. My question today for you guys is I've seen recently Paul Craig has done a trial weight cut to go to middleweight. The first question, do you think that's a good move for him to go down to middleweight? Also, who would you like to see him fight at middleweight and why? Who do you think the best matchup is for him? Also, I'd say, Brian, you're the man. Harrington, you're also the man. Everyone says fuck you, but I think you're pretty funny. Cheers, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just seen Paul Craig got booked. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I saw this morning there's a few websites saying that in London he's going to be fighting Andre Muniz.
Yeah.
Obviously the Brazilian standout grappler.
I didn't even occur to me that Muniz is a middleweight. Yeah. I just seen the fight and I was like, oh, that sucks. Like, thought maybe me and Paul could get this thing going. But, and then I didn't even realize, it didn't register that Andre is a middleweight.
What do you think about Paul going down to middleweight? Because the thing is, Paul's a big man, 6'4". Kid.
Yeah.
And he's always, he's in great shape. He's not like a guy that when you look at him, you think he needs to lose a few pounds. Paul's always been an athlete.
I don't know if that's a great idea. I don't know how his diet is and all that stuff, but if he can do it and do it healthy, you know, I don't see any issue with that. But yeah, Paul's a big dude. What I'm afraid of, I get why he's probably feeling like that because I just did it.
Yeah.
Johnny Walker will make you feel like, man, I'm in the wrong weight class. But realistically, Johnny's probably in the wrong weight class. We're just being honest here. He's just big. And you know what? He can make it, and that's the rules, and whatever. Power to him.
He's massive.
But, I mean, power to him. Mike, I'm telling you, he was 240, 235, 240.
And with that hair style on top.
Yeah.
It makes him 6'9". With that hair that he had.
Mm-hmm. It was really funny.
That gave him another 5 inches.
When it's all froed out like that, he sits in the back and does this. And flops his hair around like just bored. This is what he does. It's kind of funny. I get why Paul would feel like maybe I need to go to 185. Paul, it's not you, it's him.
I mean, listen, I wish him the best. And
yeah, me too. Said, I hope he does
our
well.
Our friend that sent the message said he's doing a trial weight cut. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So making the weight, those weight cuts are hard. They do take a toll on the body. Whatever happens, I wish him all the best. I like the matchup with him and Muniz.
I do too.
That'll be a fun jiu-jitsu match, like combat jiu-jitsu between the two of them because they both favor the ground.
Right.
You know, so it's a fun matchup. I like that.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Good for him.
Ryan, give it to me, baby.
All right. So the next one here is from Dan from Japan.
Dan from Japan. He's the man.
Dan, I live in Japan. As you can see, Tokyo Tower behind me. So my question is, do you think the UFC will come to Japan for a fight card anytime in the near future? And if they did, who do you think would be the best to headline the fight in Tokyo? Thank you so much. I love your podcast. Keep rocking.
You know, it's funny because Dan, he doesn't look Japanese at all. Like, does it?
Doesn't look.
Dan sounds like he's from Boston.
Yeah.
I mean, of course. I mean, the UFC first went to Japan years ago in the early days, like 2003, maybe even earlier. I think 96, maybe before the pandemic, they were kind of getting into a semi-frequent pattern of doing so, and then. It just hasn't happened recently. And there was a big fall off for the support of mixed martial arts in Japan. I mean, it used to have those massive mega sold out stadiums, you know, those massive pride events. But the UFC were going back there. I don't know. I hope so. Because I want to commentate it.
Yeah, me too. I'd love to go to Japan and work the desk. That's for sure. I couldn't even begin to tell you who they would have headline it. I have no idea. But
one of the best people right now that they could have in Japan, the best headliner, in my opinion, would be Israel Adesanya. He's a massive fan of anime. He's a great kickboxer. He's a great striker. He's a massive superstar, super charismatic. You know what I mean? I think Israel Adesanya, he would do fantastic there.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to go to Japan. Oh, always. I'm going to do it. I'm just waiting for the UFC to pay for my flight and hotel. International traveler for free. Brian, we're getting through these questions. Give us another one, baby.
We got one here from Connor Cartwright, your biggest, most specialist fan. I'm not saying that he did.
All right, man, can beat me all love. How are we going on? Anyway, I've got a question for you. Would you rather have your eye back or be a billionaire? Let me know on that. I want to enjoy this beer.
Yeah, go on. I like this guy.
I love that guy.
Connor Cartwright.
I like that guy.
That's it. What would you rather have? Right? Hold on. Let me tell you, right? What would you rather have? Be a billionaire, huh? Or beat Johnny Walker? What would you rather have?
Ooh.
Give me the fucking $1 billion all day long. So you're thinking about it. All right? Well, I'll take all day.
I think probably beat Johnny Walker.
Yeah, that's because you're the eye of the tiger.
Yeah.
You can take both of my eyes. You can stick them. You can put them on a skewer. I will hire multiple people to guide me around and describe everything that I am seeing.
We'll get you robot eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you, with $1 billion, you should be able to buy eyes.
Well, you can. Have you seen those eyes that you can get where the people are now getting fake eyes and there's like spotlights in them?
No, I've never seen this.
But I just Googled that real quick. Yeah. Yeah. It's a thing, apparently. I don't know if they give you vision.
Like, do
but I'm
work?
Hoping so. I don't know. I haven't got one.
We should get one. We'll go half on it.
$1 billion. We'll get two.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll have a full set. We'll have a full set of eyes. Right. You are like more special guest like we've ever had. You know what I mean? I like you. Got to go get my hair cut. But we'll do one more picture. One more. Go on.
One more.
Just get another question, like.
Come on. Brian, now. Brian
is
one.
That is a proper northern accent, is that? That's how they talk, lad.
Found that real quick.
Like that, eh? It's bloody mental what they can do these days, isn't it? That's how they talk where I'm from. Anyway, hey, lad. What else we got, Brian?
All right, so I got a question here from Al Hassan Muhammad. He sent in a question before. We like him.
What up, guys? It's Hassan here from Norway. I got a question for all of you four. Which part in a woman do you like, ass or titties? Me personally, I like ass. Harrison, congratulations to the baby. I know you're gonna become a great father, but when they grow up, don't beat it like my father used to do to me. And have a good day, guys. Keep up with the good work.
Listen, brother, you know, for me, I think that your father did not beat you enough because you are very misogynistic. And for this, you get slapped. But with that said, Mr. Smith, I don't think we can answer this question, but what do you all prefer? Tit or ass?
We're not supposed to answer both.
Yeah.
Take both. Just
gonna be,
yeah, why you got to pick?
Discriminate.
I'll take both.
Babe, tits or ass? He's giving me the funniest look. It was funny,
like the pause, and it's the real quiet.
She's like, I don't know. All right, I'm always late for my haircuts.
All right,
I'm going to be particularly late to this one. So that's the end of the show. We're going to be back on Thursday. Mine. I'm going to. I'm waiting for it to fall out. Waiting for it to be done. Natural causes, though. We appreciate you all. Back Thursday. Subscribe and ring the bell, guys. Let's go.